Steven Spielberg's movie AI topped the box office over the weekend. The science fiction story of a robot programmed to feel love earned $30 million at theaters. Those who ran into sold-out shows could fall back on a new movie with a big dose of reality. Crazy Beautiful, set in current-day Los Angeles, tells the story of two teenagers in love and how cultural and class differences color their romance. To make the story more believable, the movie makers cast non-actors from the neighborhoods of Los Angeles where the movie is set. Nova Safo reports.
In many ways, the film Crazy Beautiful is a typical teen drama. Boy and girl meet, they fall in love, their lives change forever. The boy, Carlos, is Latino from a poor neighborhood in Los Angeles. The girl, Nicole, is white from wealthy Pacific Palisades. Carlos takes the bus to Nicole's high school and studies hard to take advantage of all that the wealthier school offers. That's where the two get to know each other, but in their initial courtship, Nicole only manages to get Carlos into trouble.
Look, you guys play around and be better. Which is cool, all right, whatever. But it's not like that for me, okay? I get on this bus, right? This piece of stinking bus, 2 hours each way just to be here. At 5:43 in the morning, that's what time my bus leaves. So if I wanted to screw up, I'd do it at my home school because I get a hell of a lot more sleep. But I'm here, okay? I'm here because I really want to be here. And you're here because, I mean, why are you here if it's such a big joke to you?
The animosity doesn't last long. Nicole wins Carlos over when he misses his bus and she offers to drive him home. That's when she's first introduced to Carlos's Boyle Heights neighborhood and where she meets his family and friends. While Carlos and Nicole are played by professional actors, Jay Hernandez and Kirsten Dunst, the roles of Carlos's friends are not. They're played by Los Angeles high school students. The film's director, John Stockwell, wanted the film's setting to play almost as large a role as the main characters. And to add authenticity to that setting, he used people who were not professional actors.
The story is pretty straightforward. It's been told before. The only way we were going to distinguish this movie was by making the details really keenly observed. And that was my agenda and my mission, and a lot of that comes through casting.
To fulfill Stockwell's mission, casting directors Randy Hiller and Sarah Finn hunted through high schools for Latino teenagers who could act. They soon found out that where they looked mattered a great deal.
We saw people, kids from Mexico and Texas and New York, and they just couldn't fit in with the LA people.
They didn't have the same lingo. They didn't have the same gestures and mannerisms and the same speech patterns.
Their search brought them back to Los Angeles and to John Marshall High School's theater class.
Right about now, you're feeling really tired. And the audience knows it because you're panting. You gotta work through it, fight through it.
What the casting directors were seeking was exactly what Kevin Kane teaches his theater students at John Marshall, how to allow their real selves to come through in their performances. Each year, the students put on a production with stories drawn from their lives, lives that often include violence, gangs, and tragedy. Kane interweaves music, dance, and spoken dialogue to create a production that celebrates the students' perseverance. Tommy De La Cruz had been in Kane's class for about a year when his brother was killed in a gang shooting outside a nightclub. Tommy wrote a monologue about his brother's death and showed it to Kane.
But I had to say, hey, Tommy, this is really beautiful, and I'm really, really happy that you were brave enough to share all that with us. But Araceli already wrote about her brother being killed in a drive-by shooting, so we already got that covered for the show. So we can't really use that one this time. But is there anything else you want to talk about? And he just took a moment, is like, yeah, okay, how about I write about my dad, you know, being abusive to my mom? I was like, okay.
See, that man was supposed to be my role model. What kind of a man is he teaching me to be if all I see him do is beat on my mother? Even now I see a man beating on his wife. He didn't do nothing to me, but I feel like grabbing him and slapping him just so he can know how it feels. I haven't done it yet. And if I do, it probably even wouldn't do any good. But one day I might.
The night Tommy performed his monologue, he got a real sense of how his words can impact others.
There was this old lady that told him that she was crying after the show, and she goes, you did such a good job, you know, and she goes, and her son passed, and he just looked at me, and he put his head down. I knew that he felt at the time, you know, what I was talking about. I knew it was that show, and the lady just patted his son on the back. I don't know what happened in their life, but I know that I affected them talking with my story. The son probably seen his mom go through something like that, you know, and it hurt both of them going back, but it'll make them think, and I know they'll learn from that experience.
Also in the audience that night was casting director Sarah Finn. She thought Tommy's monologue was a powerful piece and decided to audition him and others from Kane's class. Tommy got the part of Victor in the film, one of Carlos's friends. In this scene, the group of friends first meet Nicole at Santa Monica Beach.
My name's Victor. What's your name?
She don't care what's your name.
Nicole.
Nice to meet you, Nicole.
Carlos.
Hi, Carlos.
What's up?
Man, I was talking to her. What you doing?
You know what? I've seen you around.
Doubt it.
You go to Pacific, right?
Yeah. Yo.
Victor? I mean, he's ghetto fabulous.
Again, Tommy De La Cruz.
I'm ghetto fabulous. I'm not scared of saying that. Oh, but Victor's just... He's just seen a lot in his lifetime, and he's not a gangster. He looks like one, I mean, but that's just what he grew up around. That's all he knows. That's all, you know, street life.
Director John Stockwell says Tommy brought an improvisational and spontaneous atmosphere to the set and helped make the film more authentic.
He brought a credibility and a veracity to the role, and he would always kind of fact-check everything for us. He'd say, no, that doesn't go down that way. Here's how it really happens. And I listened to him because I knew he knew.
Tommy says he does not see the film as a ticket to stardom. And in truth, he finds acting uncovers emotions buried deep within, something he doesn't always want to face. He's decided to keep writing, though, and will concentrate on expressing himself through rap music. The film Crazy Beautiful is in theaters now. For NPR News, I'm Nova Safo in Los Angeles.